Well, good morning. Shall we pray together before we do anything else? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the gift of your word. Thank you for the book of Hebrews and for chapter 11 and this tour of Old Testament figures who displayed faith. Father, please, this morning, would you strengthen us in our faith? Would you help us to fix our eyes upon that future that Christ died to win for us? Amen. I don't know what you're scared of, but I'm pretty nervous of heights. I hate standing near the edge of a cliff, unlike my tiny, fearless wife, who walks right up to the edge and peers over. The idea of crossing one of those terrifying suspension bridges you sometimes see on travel shows kind of fills me with dread. That's like a nightmare on a screen. I know I'd have knocking knees as I took the first step. Sheer drops, wobbly, bouncy bridges, winds that shake the bridge, missing planks, slippery from the wet, terrifying. In fact, I'm pretty sure the only way I would make it across is to not look down, to keep my eyes fixed on the other side of the bridge. Now, that's a very specific example, but the truth is there is always something we could be afraid of. Now, whether it's fear about the conflicts we see on the news, fear of that bill dropping through our letterbox, fear of the annual review at work. Mine's in a couple of weeks. Fear of the, if I'm not here in like 6 weeks' time, you'll know why. Fear of the doctor's appointment you've been waiting for. Life is full of things that we could fear. And that's just a general truth for everyone, Christian or not. But then you add in the specific fears that may come along with being a Christian. Fear of rejection by our friends and family members for our beliefs. Fear that we'll be called bigoted for having out-of-date beliefs. For many of our brothers and sisters around the world, the fear of persecution. That maybe it is the simple reality of looking at our non-Christian friends or non-Christian neighbours and just having that nagging fear that we're missing out somehow. There's lots we could fear, and I don't want to be glib about it, far from it, but I wonder whether there's something helpful in the rickety suspension bridge. Because this morning, as we turn to the next part of our Hebrews 11 series, and as we look at the example of Moses, what we see is faith that overcomes fear by fixing its eyes on something far greater. The first thing we're going to look at is faith that overcomes fear. Now, what was there to fear in Moses' life? Well, his parents could have feared the king of Egypt's edict to kill all the baby Hebrew boys. We know that the king of Egypt, in Exodus 1, decided to address the increasing population of the Hebrews by issuing this command: every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. Utter wickedness. And yet, verse 33 of Hebrews 11 tells us that by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Now you might ask, surely the very act of hiding Moses from a murderous king was an act driven by fear. But notice that there is an important difference. Moses' parents were concerned not for their own lives, but for the life of their baby boy. They didn't fear any repercussions that they may face, and that led them to acting pretty bravely. defying the king at risk to themselves, putting baby Moses in that basket amongst the reeds of the Nile, where he's found by Pharaoh's daughter and raised in the royal household. Moses himself could have feared the king of Egypt's anger. Hebrews 11, verse 27. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Now, even a brief read through the book of Exodus will tell you that the king of Egypt was not happy about the Israelite slaves leaving. It wasn't simply opposition. This was potentially murderous opposition. But by faith, Moses left and persevered. And now we get this slightly confusing comment that the reason Moses persevered is because he saw the invisible God. Which doesn't quite make sense, does it? But Matthew Henry, an old Puritan writer, is really helpful. He says that by faith, we may see this invisible God. We may be fully assured of his existence, of his providence, and of his gracious and powerful presence with us. Moses had sight of God, an assurance of God's powerful presence with him. To use Exodus language, he was certain of God's mighty hand and his outstretched arm. And that enabled him to have faith in God and endure. Moses also could have feared about the Passover. Passover gets mentioned in verse 28. You could well imagine questions running through his mind as the blood of the lamb was painted on the doorframe. Was he doing the right thing? Did he follow the guidelines properly? Was a bit of blood on a doorframe actually going to work? All perfectly natural feelings and questions in the circumstances, but by faith, he kept the Passover. Verse 28, by faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith in who God is, the truthful, powerful, saving God, and by faith in God's promises that the blood on the doorpost would be a sign to God that a lamb had died in the place of the firstborn son, Moses persevered. He had faith in God's rescue. And he could have feared, he could have been too terrified, couldn't he, to step through the dry ground of the Red Sea with mountains of water on either side of him. Again, imagine the knocking knees and trepidation of the Israelites around Moses as they first stepped foot on the newly dried up seabed. Fear not only of the supernatural event unfolding before their eyes, but fear about whether these walls of water would hold. At verse 29, by faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the people, led by Moses, passed through the Red Sea. There was, I think it's fair to say, plenty to fear in Moses' life. I go back to our bridge, it's on the screen still. Plenty of sheer drops to distract the gaze and give wobbly knees. Plenty of gusts of wind to shake where we stand. And yet, by faith, Moses identified with God's people. He persevered in the face of opposition. He led them to freedom from Egyptian slavery through the events of the Passover, through the events of the Red Sea. This is faith that overcomes fear. And in verses 24 to 26, we see that the reason that it's faith that overcomes fear is because it's faith that fixes its eyes. Look at verses 24 to 26 with me. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be ill-treated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. I mean, just imagine how different Moses' life could have been if he'd fully embraced being the son of Pharaoh's daughter, if he'd fully embraced being part of the royal household. Money, and comfort, education, servants, fine food, fine wine, power, privilege, influence, decadence. Life would have been sweet for Moses. Yet he refused that privilege, recognizing sin for what it is, fleeting and momentary, and choosing ill treatment along with the people of God. Now, there's an important detail in there to get right. There's nothing inherently wrong with money or comfort or education or fine food. What's wrong is choosing those things over being a part of the people of God, of thinking fine wine is more worthwhile than God and his people. And it's such an important distinction that the author of Hebrews says it again. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. Now, the natural question there is, how did Moses regard disgrace for the sake of Christ as more valuable than treasure when all of these events took place way before Christ was born? And I think the answer is seen in the way that all the events of Exodus point us forward towards Christ, a chosen leader who would lead God's people out of slavery. Well, Christ is the one who saves us from slavery to sin. A God who will rescue his people with a mighty arm so that they can be his people and he can be their God. It's Christ. A lamb who dies in the place of the Israelites. Well, it's Christ. When John the Baptist first sees Jesus, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And you could keep on going on through the Exodus story, and it just constantly points us forwards to Christ. How did Moses regard disgrace for the sake of Christ as more valuable than treasure? Through these events and actions which find their fulfillment in Christ. And why? Why did Moses think this way? Because he was looking ahead to his reward. For Moses, the reward that he had in mind was undoubtedly the promised land. When God first appeared to him in Exodus 3, he says to Moses, "I have come down to rescue them, rescue my people, from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey." Now notice that there are two parts to God's salvation plan, a from and a to. He was going to save the Israelites from Egypt, from slavery in Egypt, and bring them to the promised land, this land flowing with milk and honey, the sweet reward that Moses had his eyes fixed on. And it's not dissimilar to us, right? Our salvation involves a from and a to. We are rescued from slavery to sin, from the punishment we deserve for our sin, and we're rescued to have a future forever with God, to enjoy the sweet reward of heaven and the new creation. And of course, we're not there yet, are we? This is a future we can be certain of, but which we cannot see. And faith, as we've seen throughout this series, is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And it makes complete sense that faith which overcomes fear is faith which fixes its eyes. Go back to the bridge once again. The only way across is to fix your eyes on the other side. The sheer drops, fix your eyes. The gusts of wind, keep your eyes fixed on the other side. The missing planks, the bouncing bridge, the slippery surface, keep your eyes fixed on the other side. That Moses, when he could have feared Pharaoh's anger, kept his eyes fixed on his reward. When the Passover took place and there was weeping throughout Egypt, he kept his eyes fixed on a land flowing with milk and honey. When the water of the Red Sea rose up on either side, by faith with fixed eyes he crossed. The treasures of Egypt were as nothing compared to the land flowing with milk and honey. Same for us. Same for us. When we fear rejection by friends and family for our beliefs, fix our eyes on our reward. When we fear being called bigoted for having out-of-date beliefs, we fix our eyes upon the certain hope that we have. When our brothers and sisters around the world face persecution, and they do every day, pray that they might be fixing their eyes upon a future where they will dwell with God and where he will wipe every tear from their eyes. When we're tempted to look at our non-Christian friends and have that niggling fear that we're missing out somehow, well, fix your eyes upon how wonderful, how sweet, how worth it will be to see Jesus face to face and live with him forever in perfection. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for the example of Moses. Thank you that he persevered. He kept on going in spite of fear because he had his eyes fixed on his reward. Father, I pray that you would help each one of us here today to have eyes that are firmly fixed upon our future. The future that Christ died to win for us, and the future of which we can be certain. Lord, with all of life's ups and downs, with all of its potential fears, help us to have faith which fixes our eyes on the future. Amen.